Hello from me, John Hoyle, and my co-reader, Lynette Edwards. Welcome once again to Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. Today's edition of our newspaper is number 2338 and is being recorded on Thursday, the 21st of August. So, what do we have in store for you? Well, on part one, we have news and letters from the last 6 days of the evening news and a feature. This week, it's a look at the efforts for wildlife conservation over the past years by Norfolk Wildlife Trust's officer, Robert Morgan. Now, here's Lynette.
Hello. First of all, we'd like to offer a warm welcome to new listeners, Mrs. Doris Allison and Janet Lovick, both of Norwich. We hope you enjoy our recording. Last month, I was advertising the monthly Chatterbox Just Talk, and today it's that time of month again. At the end of our weekly edition, you'll be able to listen to this month's Just Talk, our own in-house production, which has proved very popular. As I say, that follows at the end of the weekly edition. But as a taster, here's David to tell you a bit about what's in store.
Hello, I'm David Potten. After this week's Chatterbox, you can listen to the August edition of Just Talk. This is going to be a month of unusual surprises. Where else would you hear about the Postman's Park, Dame Cleo Lane, St. Uncumber, baby birds, mermaids, disc jockey's misfortunes, holidays in Barbados, and flying to the moon? If you want to know more, just relax and listen to this month's Just Talk, right after Chatterbox.
Thank you, David. Now we can go on to some news. John will introduce our first set of news items.
We start off with a mixture. A commemorative service at the cathedral, Norfolk students' A-level results, and an accusation that Norwich roundabouts are scruffy, plus grim crime figures from Norwich's Prince of Wales Road. The bravery of all those who served in the Far East during the Second World War was remembered at a special service at Norwich Cathedral to mark the 80th anniversary of VJ Day. The service was organised in partnership with the National Far East Prisoners of War Fellowship Welfare Remembrance Association and was attended by the association's royal patron, His Royal Highness the Duke of Gloucester, who was accompanied by Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Gloucester. The Dean of Norwich, the Very Reverend Dr. Andrew Braddock, said, "The VJ Day service was an opportunity to remember the enormous human costs of the Second World War and its ending, both across the world and in successive generations. We remember the fortitude of those who were prisoners of war in the Far East, subjected to unimaginable pain and torment. The 80th anniversary commemorations at Norwich Cathedral saw a military parade march through the cathedral close ahead of the service of thanksgiving and remembrance, which was sung by Norwich Cathedral Choir and saw more than 1,000 people gathered to pay their respects."
It's a time in life when many students prepare to fly the nest and leave the comforts of Norfolk to study in parts new. But while usual university cities like Cambridge, York and Oxford will no doubt feature heavily, some are going even further afield. Francesco Rovascala is just one example as he trains Norfolk for Italy when he starts studying medicine in Milan. Another Langley student heading overseas is Mihir Madden, who's been accepted onto a business administration course at the American University in Dubai. Meanwhile, students across the Norwich area collected their A-level results and will now prepare for their next steps in education or work. At Norwich High School for Girls, 96% of students achieved grades A star to C, with almost a quarter earning A stars. Hazel Packer, director of sixth form, said she was absolutely thrilled. City of Norwich School saw a host of success stories. At Ormiston Victory Academy in Cosy, there was a string of strong results, with students preparing to further their studies in Warwick, Nottingham, and closer to home at the UEA. It was also not just A-level students celebrating exam successes, with T-level, BTEC and vocational qualification courses also receiving results.
The state of Norwich's roundabouts has come under fire, with critics saying what used to be floral welcomes to the city centre have become scruffy messes. Responsibility for the roundabouts is in the hands of Norfolk County Council, with Conservative-controlled County Hall having taken on responsibility from Norwich City Council in 2020. But Labour opposition councillors have said the County Council is not doing enough to maintain the roundabouts around the city. Julie Brokeek-Coulton, Labour County Councillor for Norwich's Sewell Division, said, "Norwich roundabouts used to be a proud sight and welcome people to the city. To be wildlife and insect friendly doesn't mean they need to be the scruffy messes they've turned into since the County Council took over responsibility."
A notorious street known for its colourful nightlife has been revealed as the most crime-ridden road in the city. Data released after a Freedom of Information request by this newspaper revealed that the number of reported crimes in Prince of Wales Road was 621 last year. This is 125 more incidents than the next street with the highest number of reported crimes, which was Riverside Retail Park, with 496 incidents. Last year, almost half of the recorded offences on the Clubland Street were violent incidents. Of the total of 621 reports, 321 were listed as violence against the person. Prince of Wales Road has been notorious as a crime hotspot, with knife crime plaguing the street. In 2024, business bosses in Prince of Wales Road called for more police support as waves of antisocial behaviour wrought havoc on the street. The data released by the police revealed other streets in the city with a high number of reported crimes compared to the rest of the city. Riverside Retail Park, a shoplifting hotspot, came second in the list with 492 crimes, a whopping 463 of which were theft. The third worst street for crime was Dereham Road, with 363 reported crimes.
Developers are still on the hunt for a contractor to finish a job that will see an additional 190 homes built along the city's riverside. Orbit Homes, which owns St Anne's Quarter, says delays to complete the site at King Street were caused by the pandemic and the impact it had on the economy. The site was earmarked for 437 homes when Orbit Homes bought the property in 2014. While only 247 of the homes have been built, it means a section of the site adjoining King Street has been left barren and boarded up for more than 10 years. Since 2024, the hoarding surrounding the site, which was strewn with graffiti, has been painted over, and Orbit Homes recently cleared the overgrown shrubbery. A representative for Orbit Homes said, "We're currently seeking a contractor to resume the development and will continue to update our customers and local stakeholders as appropriate."